What's poppin', congregation? Welcome back to another installment of Scam Goddess. It's me, your host, Lacey Mosley, a.k.a. Scam Goddess. And I'm very what? Yes, I'm very excited for today's guest. And I am. This is a man who strongly helped shape my comedic skills. I'm not even lying. This man taught me so much. We have been friends for many, many years, basically since I moved to Los Angeles. He is a king. He is a writer. He has written for several TV shows, including Florida Girls, which I was on. If y'all watch my ratchet ass shit, it's still on Showmax if you want to see our ratchet asses, where he also played Rick and took shots out of my titties. Get into it. He also has a comedy theater called The Comedy Co-op, and it's a performer-led like cooperative that puts together all types of shows and comedy in LA. So congregation, please welcome James Mastriani. And you see how much I'm gesticulating over here, James. I'm like really hype.
I love it. My Italiano's coming through in your gesticulation. You're using your hands. I like this. This is good. This
so
is
much
good.
Hand usage. But yes,
what's
guys,
up, Lacey?
Showmax, if you want to see James and I interacting a lot.
That's right.
Yes, I'm good. How are you, James?
I'm good. You know, just kind of vibing through a pandemic, through a global historical moment that we'll all remember forever, and just getting through it.
Honestly, I feel like we as millennials got scammed, because how many global events do we need to live through, bitch? Like, we was here for 9/11. We here for COVID. We here for, like, you know, Janko jeans and light up belts. B2K so much, broke up.
So much so that, like, we've had to, like, backlog and kind of put it on the back burner so many traumas and catastrophes we did go through that don't even truly feel like remember Columbine?
Oh, Lord.
Columbine was like the biggest millennial tragedy imaginable. And now it's like, I don't even know that there's probably people
Sandy
that don't even know
Hook,
what it is.
The club shoes, the housing bubble bursting in 2008. Donald
Hurricane
Trump.
Katrina.
Oh,
yeah.
Hell.
Everything.
We're not trying to bring y'all down. I just want to say, like, if you're listening to this podcast, you're a survivor. Oh, okay. Beyonce's people just knocked on the door. I cannot sing any more of that song legally.
I love that. I love that Beyonce is so rich that she has a lawyer outside everybody's door. Just in case.
Just in case they do a little bit of copyright infringement. You just get that.
Hello? Knock, knock, knock. Nope.
No, yeah, so congratulations to you if you can even hear this, because you've made it through a lot, honey. You're doing amazing, sweetie, no matter what you're doing. Even if you're just, like, in the fetal position crying, like, look at you expressing emotion. Good for you, you know?
Hey, you're crying. That's progress. That's progress.
It is. But, James, I do have to ask you. And you've been on the show before. This is the second time James has been on. And I know the listeners who this episode, I think, is behind the paywall. But I think I'm going to take 10 episodes out, guys. I'll let you guys know. Because they're, like, taking too many of my episodes away. But James was one of my first guests. And he told this fantastic story. I'm going to pull it out of the paywall so you guys can hear it. Because it's one of my favorite episodes. But, James, since those crazy times, like, what's your relationship with scams now? It's, you know, you've been through a whole pandemic. And not even through. We're in the middle.
You know, I'll tell you, Lacey, like, I feel like my whole world vision of what is real and what is not, and what is a scam and what is not, has just really shifted. And I think that's one of the things that your show does that is beneficial, not only just to making people laugh, but also just sort of revealing, like, just how everything feels like it's just in a capitalist society, especially, is just a scam on top of a scam on top of a scam. But one thought I had recently and I don't know where this comes from. I don't know if this is a scam or not, but, I've been thinking about, like, extended family and, like, how much of extended family is a scam, right? Like, what's the cutoff here? First cousins, second cousins. Mm-mm. So we've got a drop of blood that we share, and I've got to give you what kind of emotional energy here? Like, what is, and how is this functioning? And Yeah, I don't know who invented that or who started it. But it's weird to me when people are like, "Oh yeah, this is David. This is my third cousin removed from my
Yeah, when we
mother's
get
side."
into the removals, I'm like, what does that even mean? If they removed him, then they removed him. Why are you here?
Yeah.
Why are you at the reunion? Put down that hot dog.
Just say your friends. So what, your friends? Your friends that have like some sort of link here, or I don't know. So that was something that I've been thinking about lately is like, what is, maybe it's not a, I don't know if it's a scam that's benefiting anybody, but it definitely seems like a weird thing we've all agreed on that I'm like, this doesn't make sense.
The only thing I would say, I have 2 points on extended family. One, there is somebody who comments on my Instagram constantly is like, I'm your cousin. I'm your cousin because your aunt so-and-so, brother, nephew had a son and then they had me and then we cousins. And they consistently comment on my page that we're cousins. And I'm like, bro, we not cousins. Like, I have never met you. I've never heard about you. I never seen you in a family album. Okay? But I'm from Texas. So the only reason that I kind of think extended family isn't a scam is because you need to know who not to fuck so the genetics not gonna get all messed up and then and the
Fair.
baby gonna come out a little, you know, lopsided.
Fair.
So and that's no shade to people with special needs and da 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 da. That's not what I'm trying to say. But you know, if you have
Yep.
sex with someone that you're related to, you know, that's
We've
and
all
in the
seen the
South,
British royal family. We know what happens.
yeah. So
We
in
know what
the
lopsided
right,
means.
although Elizabeth was with her cousin, and I think mean they came out all right. I think all the kids, maybe not in the head, but
Maybe, yeah.
oh God, I'm gonna get canceled. So yeah, I kind of get it, especially in Texas. Like it was like a thing. It's still a thing. If I tell my family that I'm dating someone, they're like, "Okay, when are you gonna fly home so we can meet them?" And it's like a thing.
Whoa,
You have to
really?
bring people home. I'm
Is
like,
that
okay.
a Mosley family kind of like, is that something that all the Mosley kids have to do? Like they all, or is that specifically a Lacey thing?
I don't know. Maybe it's just my immediate family, but that was always a thing. I
Yeah.
never like told them I was dating anyone because if I said I was dating, if I said dating, then they were like, okay, so when are you guys gonna fly home so that we can like meet him and mildly threaten him, you know, around cocktails and great food. Or her, you know? So, yeah.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
But it is interesting. It's like, where is the cutoff? Especially for money. Like, I can't get,
Oh,
third cousins
totally.
can't get no loans.
Yeah. I mean, luckily, nobody in my family has ever thought of me as somebody that has money because I'm not somebody that has money. So they don't reach out to me, which might be good, but you know, for somebody in your position who's just blowing up
What are
and
you
doing,
talking
you
about?
know.
I am in the same position. Don't do that. Don't do that. I have no money. I have
Listen,
no money.
any Mosley family members listening to this that are extended, that
Oh, wow.
fourth,
You wishing
fifth,
that
sixth
evil on
cousins,
me?
don't listen to Lacey. I've seen her around town. She's tossing Benjamins out of the window
I am
constantly.
not Drake. This is not a Drake music video. I am not handing out stacks of cash. Okay, I don't have it. I don't have Itza. My mom is the family bank. Thank God. Like they call her if somebody needs a quick casket. My mom. If you need, you know, like anything you need, like that's my mom. That's not me.
Love
She's gonna kill me when she hears this. But let's get into our first segment here. What's hot in fraud? This is where we warn our listeners about popping scams in the zeitgeist. Or more often than not, I don't even know why I say the warn our listeners because maybe I'll warn y'all about some shit again if I see some shit. But more often than not, we get a letter from you guys. And as always, snitch on your friends and family at scamgoddesspod@gmail.com. Just make sure your scam is retired because we don't want to what? Yes, fuck up your bag. So I need a fake name for this person, James.
A fake name?
Yes.
Okay, let's do Gregory. I don't know if they are
We don't care
male,
about gender.
female, gender.
Yeah.
Let's do
Gregory?
Gregory Finucci. Let's go Italian.
Finucci. Okay,
Gregory
Finucci.
Finucci.
Oh, suddenly I'm transported to New Jersey. So Gregory says, Hey, Lacey, I went back to school, and of course, I got a school email address. Come on, back to school, the biggest scam. Yes, yep. We love. Like, why don't they teach about taxes in college? Like, why don't they teach you how to get a home loan in college? I'm paying to go to school. That should be an elective. Like, y'all got me taking fencing and shit. Give me something I could use. So, Gregory Finucci went back to school. And says, of course, you know, I got the school email address. I don't know what's happening with my school, but we get hella scam emails. This one is about COVID relief fund as well. You can read what they're saying for yourself. Respectfully, Gregory Finucci. Okay. So we got a forwarded email. It says, dear students. Okay. Dear students. And I do want to say that the email address is at Tulane.edu. So.
Oh, Tulane.
They got the, and that's a good school, and they got the school email address, so.
Is that in Louisiana? Where is Tulane?
Yeah,
is that Texas?
I feel like it is. I feel like Tulane's
in Louisiana.
It's
definitely
the South. I feel like it's in Louisiana. Yeah. But, you know, y'all will correct me if it's not. Last week, somebody corrected me about saying tadpole wrong. It's tadpole. Bitch. So, and yes, my producer Judith has confirmed Tulane is in Louisiana. Yes, see, I know
schools.
There
you go. There we go.
So, dear students, so this to everybody. Okay. Please take note. We found out that most students have not yet received their COVID-19 relief funds. We are here to assist you guys to get your funds. We had a meeting today and we decided to help all student. I'm reading it as it's written. We decided to help all student who have not yet received their COVID-19 relief funds. And we believe it far useful for you guys, the following details below will be needed to start up. That's how it's written. There's no punctuation. Your full name, SSN, which stands for Social Security number, phone number, current house address, and picture of your driving license back, front, and back.
What?
I just want to pause because there's a little bit more. So we found out that most students, we had a meeting. Who is we?
Yeah, who is we? This sounds like it's coming from Eastern Europe and they just want like social security number. Like they're trying to steal somebody's identity. Can they add? Can anybody just ask for that stuff?
I mean, yes, I ask people for their social all the time on Twitter. That doesn't mean I'm getting it, but, you know, you always ask. But my thing is, who is we? You saying we a lot. Oh, you speak French now? Like, who is we? Who is the we? Who are you?
It says, are these boosters?
The subject is hello.
The subject is hello. That's, yeah. Oh, this is professional. This is
hello.
A professional.
Is it me you're looking for? Like, who are you? Where
let
are you
coming
from?
Let me get your social security.
Like, Lionel Richie's knocking on the door. That's all you can sing.
No, he's not that rich anymore. No, Lionel Richie.
Well, I said Lionel was knocking. I didn't say his people was knocking. I said Lionel was knocking. Actually, Lionel's a very nice man. I used to wait on him at a sushi restaurant a lot. And when he would come in, he would be like, now, baby, you know I can't use these chopping sticks. Go on back and find me a fork. And I like, so I got to the point where I knew if he was coming, I would just have forks and knives on the table. Because he was like,
you know what's funny about that is I also, I had a friend tell a Lionel Richie story as well. And said, also, crazy nice guy. Like, you know, like they were hanging at a bar, bought drinks and stuff. And then the only thing that they said about Lionel Richie was drives crazy fast and it's terrifying. Like in a sports car, like really, really fast. So I guess Lionel Richie has a thing for speed.
He's living that fast life.
Yeah, good for him.
Right, except for I can't live that fast life anymore. I already got dropped by Allstate. They said I was in bad hands. They actually said I was in no hands. The black man showed up from the commercials and he said, give us our shit back. Got in one too many accidents. It was really my mama's fault because I had a rental car because the transmission on my old cursed car broke just randomly. And the... my mom was like, when I got to the real, like the rental car place, she was like, oh, you should just get, like, don't get the rental car insurance. It's a scam. Like, you already have insurance through Allstate, so just use Allstate. So I was like, okay. Sure enough, I got to a fucking accident on my way to go shoot single parents. Like, I was like,
oh, man.
Totaled the car, too. Totaled it. And it wasn't Jesus. Like I totaled it on the other car. It was like the other car was making a left-hand turn, which if you live in LA, you know left-hand turns are very risky. You make them on yellow lights. You have to assess the speed of everyone coming towards you. They did not assess my speed. Tried to make a left-hand turn. We collided. They were safe. Everything was fine. But I ran up onto the curb and hit a goddamn mailbox or something that belongs to the city. And Allstate was like, hey, girl, you're not in good hands no more. We actually taking the hands away. You are in no hands, okay? Look, Ma, no hands. That's what they did. That's what they sent me in the letter. No hands. Yes, I can't.
I've seen the commercials now. All the commercials now at the very end, they say, except for Lacey. Allstate, you're in good hands, except for Lacey.
Except for Lacey. Except for, though, I do appreciate that because insurance is a scam. So I got my money's worth before they kicked me out. I was like, run it up. Yep, pay for these cars, bitch. Make it rain.
Yeah, it's absolutely a scam.
So, you know, this letter, going back to this letter, this email, it starts with hello. There's no credentials. They just talk about some we, the collective we. I don't know who we is. They asking you for a picture of your driver's license back, front, and back. They want it back, back, forth, and forth. No, you want back, front, and back? Can you, here, if you're going to rob me, can you at least run it through Grammarly first? Because this is disrespectful.
Also, clearly using COVID, whatever this is, whatever this fucking scam is, like clearly using COVID as like a manipulation ploy, right? Like some sort of like, let's get to some emotional, you know, place in this reader's, in this reader's mind. It reminds me of, remember when like everybody was trying to make money off 9/11 and you had like 9/11 commemorative coins and like all
which,
these
like,
different.
What? Like, we don't want to commemorate this. We are sad. Yeah. What?
Like, I mean, could you imagine going to somebody's home and seeing their collection of 9/11 coins?
Commemorative coins. I'm automatically going to think either you were a part of it or you are a sociopath. You are a murderer. Why would you want that?
Like, look at the detail of the smoke coming off of the skyscrapers on this, on these nickels.
I also have a Timothy McVeigh Oklahoma City bombing coin.
Oh,
it's got
man.
A little hoodie on it. Like what? Like what? Or maybe that's the Unabomber. But like what? Like that's crazy.
This goes right back to what we were talking about before. Millennial trauma coins. Like let's commemorate. Let's do the whole collection. Millennial trauma commemorative coins.
James, let's get into this. I think we can sell this to Hasbro, Millennial Trauma Monopoly. Like,
man, we could make a shit ton of money. Ton of money off of people's pain.
You landed on a BLM protest. Go straight to jail. Do not collect $200. Like, you pick up a chance card. PPE loan. Collect $3,000. Oh, no. So the end of this fake email says, please note that in the process of helping you, a code will be sent to your mobile number, which you will send it back to me, and also a link for selfie verification will be sent to your number. Please make sure you follow the instructions to enable us get it done for you. After the whole verification, a Bank of America debit card will be sent to your home address for you to have access to your funds.
This sounds so shady.
I gotta send a selfie?
What is this?
I gotta send a verification link and a selfie. So what I'm guessing is that they're using all of this information to log into your bank account or to get into, you know, figure out where your financial institution is. And then once your financial institution is like, this is weird, then you might get a link because a lot of banks do that now. They'll send you a link like, you know, this, hey, girl, someone's what's going on. And then they want you to send them the link and the code back so that they can get into your shit and a photo. And a photo. You already have my driver's license, bitch. What do you need a photo
Multiple
for?
Multiple photos. Yeah. What is this?
Also, I have never dealt with any professional government organization or otherwise that asked me to send them a selfie. And they wrote the words selfie, not a photo of your face, selfie.
That is, I mean, what could possibly be needed on top of a driver's license? Why would you need a selfie? Because you like changed that much? And also, yeah, you're right. Selfie is funny because it's like somebody else can't take this picture for me.
No, it's got to be a selfie. We need
it's got to be a selfie.
Open that front facing camera up, bitch, and show us your face. What? And this email's been going around campus. I can't. The thing is like with COVID, obviously, like people's financial situations change for the better or for the worse, for the better for the billionaires, for the worse for most average Americans. But it's sad when people try to prey off of that kind of like, desperation. But also, this is so poorly constructed that if you fell for this, like.
I mean, absolutely. But it is really sad, but it's also like literally the basis of our economic system, right? Like, if you have the gall for it, if you have the stomach for it, you can make so much fucking money off of pain and suffering. Like, it's a whole, like anytime some sort of tragedy comes along, there's a shit ton of money. If you can stomach it, i.e. if you're a sociopath, you can make all types of money off of that.
And we talked about it. All the COVID scams, they got the fake. They used to have fake pop-up COVID testing centers where they were definitely just putting like a lipstick applicator up your nose and like charging you $200.
Yeah.
200. They were going
200?
For it.
200?
Yeah. Oh God. And honestly, if you go get a PCR and a rapid, like, and it's not paid for by a production company and it's not like through the city, which obviously you have to wait much longer to get the results, like the private ones, they're about that price.
That's like, insane.
Mm-hmm.
$200 during like, a pandemic. Yeah.
For two tests, like $95.85. I paid it the other day. Like,
Jesus.
So yeah, it's really sad. And obviously, like, this one's really dumb. But like, guys, keep your eyes peeled for people like this. Send us a selfie. Is it a scam you're looking for? Okay, I can see it in your eyes. I can see it in your lack of smile. Well, yeah, people are preying on that energy and they still are. So just be vigilant, guys. All right. We're going to take a quick break from some non-scam advertisements and we'll be right back. Scams! Cons! And we are back. And it's time for my favorite segment of the show, Historic Hoodwinks. This is where I will regale James with a famous con, caper, group of criminals, single miscreant. We don't know. Maybe we like them. Maybe we hate them. We'll all find out together. So I will note that a great deal of the structure and quotes from this episode is coming from Texas Monthly's 2005 article, The Last Ride of Cowboy Bob. And that's by Skip Hollinsworth. And that's a Texas name if I ain't ever heard one.
Skip? Oh, yeah.
Skip is
such a Texas name.
It is. I love it. What is Skip short for? That ain't the name, right?
Skipperton?
I love it being even more complicated. Skipperton.
Skipterion.
That sounds like a disease. That sounds like something flesh eating. You know he got that Skipterion. You might want to.
Got Skipterion. Oh, God.
You want to steer clear until he clear up. But I love Texas Monthly. They give me the best stories.
It's great.
And I love the writers over there. So, Historic Hoodwinks. Guys, in the early 90s, around Dallas, Texas, a mysterious cowboy robbed several banks over a period of 2 years. Cowboy Bob was eventually caught and found out not to be who anyone expected. So, the first bank robbery. First of all, I wasn't thinking, like, when I saw Cowboy Robber, that this was going to be in the 90s.
Wow, no, I definitely did not. Like when did banks, I feel like banks became impossible to rob like around that time period, right? Like when just security between like cameras and like DNA and like all that kind of stuff.
And also silent alarms and, like, you know, vaults. And then, like, they have that thing where, like, if you get the money out illegally, like, ink gets all over it.
Oh,
like,
yeah, ink and stuff.
Yeah.
I will say, though, like, I think we're ready for, I think society's ready for a really charming, non-violent, successful bank robber again. I think we're ready for it. I think we would all rally around, like, yeah, I know John Dillinger was violent and killed people, but like somebody that doesn't hurt people but successfully is able to rob banks, I think we're ready for that person.
I feel like it's got to be an inside job these days. I feel like you have to do your homework. So much of everything is computerized. Like, you can't just come in and be like, everybody on the ground. Like, I feel like, you know. The first bank robbery was in May of 1991, when a 5'6" bearded man in a backwards 10-gallon cowboy hat walked into the American Federal Bank in Irving, Texas. Okay, I am from Dallas, so I know Irving. It's very close. Oh, we got a photo of this man. I will drop it on the Insta. This hat. Okay, my guy is dripping, though. Like, this is swag.
Yeah, this guy's great.
Yo, that's what I'm talking about. You better dress up. You better give the girls fashion when you rob the bank. Okay? He strutted in like he was on the goddamn catwalk. He got on a leather jacket.
5'6", short king.
It's May in 1991 in Texas. I know it's warm. Definitely too warm for you to be wearing a leather jacket, leather gloves, and a button down, and a 10-gallon hat.
Honestly, he looks like a country music star.
Right. Garth Brooks, is that you?
Garth Brooks' lawyer knocks on your door.
they're gonna be like, oh yeah, could you please talk more about Garth Brooks? We actually appreciate the publicity. Thank you for what you're doing for Garth Brooks. So, like, without a word, the man slid a note under the counter or across the counter to the teller saying, this is a bank robbery. Give me your money. No mark bills or dye packs. So he knew about the dye packs.
He knows. He knows.
He knew about the mark bills.
Yeah. Yes. Smart man. Use the note. Don't make a scene.
Keep it classy. He didn't say everybody on the floor. He said, you get into that money drawer. That's it.
Yep.
And we love it. So the man received the bag of cash from the stunned teller, nodded, and walked out as if it was any other day. Oh, swag.
Yeah.
Sauce.
Also, going back to the note really fast, like, what if you have bad handwriting and it's just like this really, the bank teller is just struggling to figure out what it says. Like,
I don't know what this says. Rubbery? This is rubbery?
Gibbamy? Give me
you want a bag of cats.
More? I'm sorry, sir. Hey, is this an R? I don't understand.
It says, give me all the money. This is a robbery. God.
That's what this says?
Oh. It says, this is a robbery? Shut your ass up. Shut your ass up. God damn. You know what it says? Robbery, damn. Oh, very fun improv scene that I wish I could do. Thank you, Conan. So he walked out like, I got the swag sauce. I'm dripping swagoo. And like that, you know, that like that. I love it. And actually, I want to read. So he did say in the note, it is a bank robbery. I love that for him. Because he could have just said, give me all the cash, no unmarked bills. But he was like, let me clarify up top. This is a bank robbery, okay?
Love it.
Just want you to know. I am robbing the bank.
We love setting up boundaries. Boundaries are a good thing.
So he then got into his two-door 1975 Pontiac Grand Prix with stolen license plates and calmly drove away. Oh, my God. Look at this car. Are you kidding me?
That's a dope car. That is a dope car.
I would be with this man. I would be.
This guy. This guy also guaranteed has some of the coolest arm tattoos. Like.
This car is fucking fire, bro.
Yeah.
In Irving, Texas. Also, I'm just like impressed. Like, robbery seems to be his profession because he just walked in and was like, do, 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 do. He slid the note that he always slides. He probably was like, give me the note back with the cash, too. Like, I don't write no new notes. I just keep saying
I don't do no. Yeah, yeah. No overhead. I don't want overhead.
You know, Greta Gerwig, I believe in saving the planet. Greta Thunberg, yeah. Okay? So I just reuse, recycle. Same robbery note.
A bank robber who's like really into climate change in the early 90s.
Yes. An innovator. So the man in the backwards cowboy hat would come to be known as Cowboy Bob in the press by authorities. He would go on to rob four more banks with similar flawless precision between May 1991 and September 1992. So here's the thing that annoys me about criminality, and obviously I'm a part of this, so I can't really say that for real, but like the news loves to sensationalize a criminal. They love to be like, oh my God, he did several murders, but he also had a quiet side and loved to foster cats. Like,
right.
He's a murderer.
Especially if they're white, too. Ooh. Especially if they're white. Like, if they're a white murderer, it's like, here's this white murderer with his family, and they're petting sheep at a petting zoo. And, you know, like...
By the way, he killed his family.
Yeah.
But they all smiling in the pic, like, he ain't murder him. It happens all the time. Like, that used to be a joke, that I can't remember who tweeted. I think Zach Fox tweeted that it was like, this is a photo when a white guy kills his family. And it was like the family on a jet ski together, like out in Florida. Like, why did y'all use this photo? Use his mugshot.
On vacation, on a jet ski.
And they still do it. The New York Post is infamous for fucked up photos. They give white people really nice photos, and they give the black people, like, literally, you could be a black person who was, tripped and fell, and, like, you're suing the bus company, and they're going to use a photo of you with six blunts in your mouth. Like, man, it's victim to bus. And
yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
So Cowboy Bob baffled the FBI from the beginning. He not only wore dark glasses and a beard to obscure his features, but he made sure to keep his head down so security cameras didn't capture his face. Former FBI agent Steve Powell, the man who was put on the case, told Texas Monthly, he was making me start to pull my hair out. How could this thin little dried up cowboy be whipping us this bad time after time? And like, cause he works in a hater job. And so, and that's what it's about. Like, if you work in the FBI, they don't pay that much in the F, the B, and the I, or in any law enforcement for real, until you start climbing the ranks. So you motivate on hate. Like, you want to take a picture with the money on the table, with the drugs on the table. You want to take a picture with the famous criminal, and he wasn't getting it.
Yeah. And they make it a righteous moral thing.
And they're lying. It's not righteous or moral. It's an ego thing. It's such a fucking ego trip. They're like, this person's getting stuff that I'm not. Like, I'm following the law. Are you, though?
Exactly. Are you? And let's talk about that bank he robbed. Are they following the law? Mm-hmm. Are they righteous and moral? Because I bet you they've evicted some poor people this week.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you they have.
Especially during COVID. And I wish that, like, news sources would stop. Like, the news is so heavily responsible for so much that's wrong in this country as well. I blame the news heavily for Trump. I blame the news for a lot of shit. And it's like the phrasing that they use. Like, there was a woman in the news this week who lost her husband to COVID, and then obviously was now a single mother. And then she was like, the news article said she lost her husband to COVID, and now she's losing her home to COVID. And I was like, bitch, she ain't losing her home to COVID. She losing her home to First National. Like, what are y'all talking about?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
Miss Rona ain't never handed nobody eviction papers.
Yeah, that house is not coughing.
Right.
100%. It's not COVID. It's the bank.
Right. The Delta variant didn't make nobody homeless. It made them sick. It may have made them gravely ill, but it most certainly did not take away their housing.
No, that's our economic system. And that's been around for a while now.
Right.
So.
But let's not do it. Let's not phrase things that way. It's not cute. So five times Cowboy Bob evaded the police. But during his sixth bank robbery, he screwed up. Damn.
Sixth.
Okay, God, Cowboy Bob.
Stop.
After five, I feel like you got to move to a new state. Go to Louisiana. Go to Georgia. Go to Mississippi. They definitely ain't going to catch you there. The education system is terrible. Like, go move around the South.
Just stop. Like, you did it, man. You did it. You robbed five banks and got away with it. Just stop.
Yeah, I feel like five is the magic number. Get a commemorative coin and stop.
Yeah. Yep.
So, he was wearing the real license plates on his Grand Prix as opposed to the usual stolen ones. So I bet you he thought, like, I'm going to switch it up on the girls because, you know, they've seen these stolen plates a lot. They might be following these stolen plates. Also, he's driving a Grand Prix. Y'all couldn't just start randomly stopping Grand Prix. Y'all love stopping frisk until it comes to a white man. It ain't that many Grand Prix driving around in 1991 that are that powder blue. No. Like,
totally. That in 91 and it's a 70s car? No way. There's got to be like 10 of them in the
in
state.
In Irving, Texas? Like, yeah. Oh my goodness. So the police were able to trace the number remembered by a witness to a Ford worker named Pete Tallis at a nearby factory. Pete had given the Grand Prix to his sister, Peggy Jo. When told his car had been just used in a bank robbery, Pete responded, "Bullshit, that car can't go fast enough." So your first response is I wasn't in the robbery. I don't even have the car. No, you
come on, it's not, they can't go that fast.
That car's horsepower is 6.
Yeah. Which, if you think about it, I mean, 6 horses, it's more power than, you know, I know it sounds low because we have cars that are like 500, but I'll tell you what, 6 horses carrying me right now, bet you I could go pretty fast.
I mean, maybe, you know, like, so Steve, I want to see you on 6 horses. James.
In a chariot, just like an old school Roman chariot.
So Steve Powell and the police immediately went to the apartment of Peggy Jo, shared with her mother, expecting to find a cowboy boyfriend and a stash of cash. Instead, they just found Peggy Jo walking to her car and mother in the apartment. FBI agents pushed into the apartment, guns drawn, and searched Peggy Jo's room. Even when they found the styrofoam mannequin head with beard on it and in the corner of the closet, the cowboy hat next to it, and a sack of money under the bed, they continued to press Peggy Jo for the location of her boyfriend. So they saw, first of all, Peggy Jo got a styrofoam. She's the organized. She is theatrical. She said, let me get a styrofoam for this beard so it don't start getting wrinkly. She had the cowboy hat in the corner. She had everything in there, right? And they said, where is the man?
I love this. I love the turn that this just took. This is great.
Yes.
If Peggy Jo is Cowboy Bob, I think Peggy Jo might be my new, like, hero.
I love the misogyny of it all. I love that, like, y'all are so egotistical and so misogynistic that your brain didn't even stop for a moment, didn't even pause when you saw a cowboy hat and a fake beard in Peggy Jo's room. You were like, she must be fucking some man who puts these things on.
Only a man could be this ballsy and this smart and this calculated. Cunning.
Only a man could fool us, the F, the B, and the I. Yeah. No, she's a lady bitch. She could never. So,
oh, man. Good for her.
A little bit about Peggy Jo. Peggy Jo Tallis was born June 6, 1994 in Texas. Come on, Gemini energy. Is that a Gemini or is that a... I think that's a Gemini.
I have no idea.
Her friends knew her as an endlessly kind, wild spirit. Her closest childhood friend, Karen Jones, says, what was most special about her was that she loved doing things other kids wouldn't do. She once drove me around looking for stray dogs to adopt, and then she took me over to the Yellow Belly Drag Strip Club just to watch the cars race. Oh, excuse me, drag strip. I added club. Look at me. A thought.
Drag strip club versus drag strip. Two completely different experiences.
Very different experiences. If you think you're going to a drag strip club and you show up to a drag strip, you will be disappointed.
Oh, yeah.
In her 20s, she got her own apartment in North Dallas and was known to frequent nightclubs and go to the movies Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. Those were her favorite. Her best friend at the time, another receptionist named Cherry Young, said she only cared about making enough money to pay the bills, buy a few drinks, and start saving for her little dream of living on a beach in Mexico. Turns out Peggy had an even wilder side. Once she walked outside a bar, found a pickup with keys still in the ignition. She hopped in and took it for a joyride. The police eventually caught up with her, and she was convicted of a felony with 5 years probation. So they gave Peggy Jo 5 years probation after she stole somebody's car. Peggy Jo, can we see a photo of her? Is she a bad bitch? I need to know. So as she got older, Peggy fell in love with a man she discovered to be married several months later, and her mother battled a degenerative bone disease. So her mother was living with her, right? So she's taking care of her mama. She was in love. Zoom in on Peggy Jo. Okay, Peggy Jo ain't hard on the eyes. She's got great hair.
Yeah, yeah. And it looks like she's maybe got a kid of some sort there.
Yeah, it's her nephew.
Oh, her nephew.
A kid of some sort. You see a child in a photo. Looks like a kid or a small adult of some sort.
I can't really tell.
Can't really make it out.
Maybe it's an adult that took a shrinking pill. I don't know. I can't tell.
So Peggy was scorned because she thought her and Bay were going to be together. It turns out Bay had a whole wife on the side. You hate to see it. So with a broken heart and paying bills, she stayed alone with her ill mother, taking a series of jobs and moving from apartment to apartment. So she's moved from apartment to apartment. It sounds like the money wasn't doing what money needs to do.
That's one thing about poor people. As somebody that grew up without a lot of money, surprisingly, poor people, we move a lot. You're constantly moving when you don't have money, which is like a weird contradiction. It's like...
Right. You would think you would stay put.
Totally, but you have to move so much. So that makes sense.
Do you know why you had to move so much?
I mean, obviously funds, find cheaper housing in a different area. Like, for us, it was like constantly going from renting to owning and then not being able to keep up with the mortgage. So you go back to renting again, or you downsize to a trailer, then you can afford a home now. Like, it's just constant fluctuation. But that makes sense to me because they move all the time.
Thank you for that insight, because that's exactly what's happening here. Is like, totally. She's moving around. You know, she's got an ill mother. I'm sure the medical bills were not cute, government assistance. We know government assistance is a scam. So they said assistance. Bitch, pay for it. I can't afford it. Pay for it. What you mean assistance? Just pay for it. Shut up. Yeah. I didn't ask you for the government's like, we'll put some on it. The government's like, I got five on it. Like, pay for assistance. It.
You just basically gave me a coupon. It's like 15% off my brain surgery.
Limited while supplies last. What you mean supplies? Y'all gonna run out of brain surgeries? Well, you we will. What? The fuck? Yeah. So She reached her 40s, once free-spirited Peggy Jo encountered her own medical problems as she injured her back, had to undergo an emergency mastectomy, and started taking anti-anxiety medication. So Peggy Jo was going through it. Peggy Jo had a lot of hard knocks. One, shout out to anybody out there who has, an ill relative or, someone that you have to care for. That is its own challenge and burden, and it's deeply unfair, and I really feel for you, because it is the right thing to do to take care of your loved ones. But being marred by that kind of obligation, like mentally, like it's just, and then to have your own health problems on top of that, like let Peggy Jo rob these banks.
So tough. Yeah. Being a caretaker is absolutely just a thankless, thankless thing to do.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, and you can't, I feel like, there's not a lot of opportunities or spaces where you can rightfully complain about how much it fucking sucks. Yeah. Because people see you as a saint. They see you as somebody who's doing something good, and like saints can't complain. Jesus could be like, these raggedy ass disciples, like, I gotta walk with these motherfuckers all the time.
Totally. Totally. Yeah. This is all very familiar to my upbringing, because my mom was disabled growing up. My dad was a caretaker.
I remember.
My mom had a hospital bill of like a couple of $1 million. Like that. This is all I feel for. If it is Peggy, I'm waiting to find out the end here, but I'm on Peggy's side here. Peggy got pushed into this.
And also, like, that's how most people, now I'm not going to say that because some people just like crime, but you know, a lot of people get pushed into crime. You know, I have a lot of sympathy and empathy for people who steal and rob because, you know, I saw a tweet the other day that was like, this manifesting shit ain't working. Shit, it's time to steal. And I was like, put them crystals away. Get out them black Air Forces. What we going to do? So the robberies, back to the robberies. So after her first robbery, ding, 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 Peggy Jo is the robber. In May of 1991, at the age of 46, that's when she pulled off her first lick. I ain't mad at that. Because, like, listen, as a woman, especially in this society, you know, looks fade, people stop, you know. Like, as a woman, for some reason, when you get to a certain age, people start to think that you're a disposable bitch. At 46, you know what you want. You know what you like. You know how to make yourself come. And you also can rob your own banks. And we love it. So she walked into the Savings of America in Irving, dressed in the same outfit, stole $1,200. So $1,258 to be exact. Peggy Jo.
No, we need more than that, Peggy. No, Peggy. No wonder she went over five times. Like, she wasn't stealing enough.
Peggy, you need to be writing on the note how much you want. Put $20,000 in the bag. Like, $1,200? That's going to get you what? In 1991, you might be able to pay 3 months' rent.
Yeah.
And we're not talking about food.
No. Peggy, in 91, we need 20 grand. We need 20 grand each robbery. Time. Each time we need 20. Yep.
So, $1,200? Honestly,
no
$1,200. I'm coming back in and I'm slapping around the bank teller. Like, bitch, you put $1,200 there. Like, Peggy, you should have known when you got the bag, it was feeling a little light. So a month later, she hit up the Texas Heritage Bank in Garland for $3,000. Okay, well, we're moving up. Not enough. Okay. But. And then in May 1992, she hit the Nation's Bank in Mesquite, Texas for $5,317. So I do appreciate that Peggy was, like, up in the bag. She knew she needed more.
Yeah.
So during the Mesquite robbery, a teller tried to slip a dye pack into the bills that was triggered to explode upon exit. Peggy Jo found the stack of bills and wordlessly handed back the exploding ink pack, leaving the money unscathed. In September 1992, so I'm glad that she went through the stack of bills and was like, no, girl, you're not going to put an exploding pack in here.
That's savvy.
In September 1992, Peggy Jo got greedy. She robbed the First Gilberta Bank in Mesquite, Texas for $1,700, basically $1,772, before heading over to the... I was about to say, how'd she get greedy? But she robbed two banks. So then she headed over to First Interstate. And this is the robbery that she got caught by. So she did two robberies in one day. So at First Interstate, she managed to leave with $13,000. Damn, she was finally getting the... was finally getting the bag.
She finally did it.
So tipping her hat with a gloved hand to the teller on the way out. I love that she kept the swag up. She was very much giving Butch Cassidy. She was giving all the swag. When she was arrested, Peggy Jo wouldn't tell anyone why she decided to rob two banks or forgot to use the stolen plate that day. She admitted that she had robbed the banks to pay for her mother's medications and that she had no intention of robbing a second or third or fourth bank. So she robbed one and was like, I just got to get some coins. Then she was like, damn, that was actually kind of... It's actually kind of nice. I feel like in a few ways, Peggy got caught in the bank robbery situation. Yeah. One, she needed the money. Two, it was very easy. Three, she liked excitement. She was stealing cars, doing joyrides and shit. So she was like, ooh, and I got a thrill up my leg. Ooh.
Yeah. She gets to have fun with costumes. Like, it's fun to dress up like this.
She got a mannequin head for her beard. Yeah. Like, she was into it. So Cherry Young, her homegirl, said, I guess it was hard for her to admit just how much fun she had being a bank robber. Because none of the robberies were carried out with any violence, she carried no weapons, Peggy Jo received a relatively light prison sentence of 33 months. I just feel like y'all don't need to let Peggy just... She, jail is expensive. It costs taxpayers money to put people in prison. It probably costs more for her to be in jail for 33 months than it would have to just be like, Peggy, go out and pick up some trash on the side of the road. Don't rob no
Absolutely
banks.
It did. For sure. I think, like, in California, we pay $50,000 a year per prisoner in taxes. Like,
so it's like, what is this for?
What's the point? Yeah. What's the point? Why are we paying that? Why should we be paying that kind of money to, like, rehabilitate their algorithm in their brain or whatever it is that
also,
has them.
Maybe just give Peggy $50,000.
Mm-hmm.
Because then she could just move to Mexico, be Mexico's problem, and everybody wins.
That's a good point. Why don't we exile people anymore? We should just exile.
Right.
Just be like, go to another country.
Right. I think for small crimes, like if you're a murderer, I'm not going to be like, now go to Honduras and keep killing.
Right.
But yeah. If you were doing petty bank robbery, no violence, all swag, all drip, you know, then like, give her the money she needs. And we gonna put her in prison. For what? And it's costing us money. No, the ghetto. So when Peggy Jo got out of prison, she lived a quiet life, continuing to take care of her mother and taking small jobs. She found employment as a cashier at the Harbor Bay Marina on Lake Ray Hubbard, just outside of Dallas. I love this is like close to home. I know where all these places are. I've been to all these places. I fished at a lot of these places. So she was beloved by the locals for her unending kindness and warmth. After Peggy Jo's mother passed away in December 2002, Peggy bought an old Frontier RV off of neighbor in 2004 and took off for a year. When she reached back to friends and family, she spoke of wanting to go down to Mexico, as she said, before life ran out on us. Oh, Peggy. Then in October 2004, Peggy Jo, disguised as an old man with a padded belly, a floppy hat, and baggy clothes, successfully robbed the Guaranty Bank in Tyler, Texas. Now, Tyler, Texas is a small town. So if someone came in to rob a bank in Tyler, Texas, I really feel like, and where's my accent hopping out? Where'd that come from? It's because I said Tyler, and we all say Tyler like Tyler.
Tyler.
You got to make the Y long. Tyler. But so Tyler is like, you blink, you miss it. It's such a small town. And I was born very close to it. I was born in Terrell. So, she was out there robbing a small bank. On May 5th, 2005, remember, she robbed the bank in October 2004. Another odd robbery occurred that morning. Peggy Jo, now 60 years old. Hey, sis.
Nice.
Come on. Walked into the Guaranty Bank, and the same bank that she robbed a year ago, and told the teller, this is a robbery. I need all of your money. Don't set any alarms. The teller gave Peggy Jo $11,241. With such a jackpot, Peggy Jo left in a rush, and she failed to see the hidden dye pack, and it exploded as she exited the bank, attracting attention of the nearby witnesses. Peggy!
Come on, Peggy. You can't, Peggy. You can't forget little details. Little details.
You not knew what it is. You true to this, Peggy.
Yeah. That's how, Peggy. Yep. You let little stuff go and you get caught.
And I would be okay with this, Peggy, if you hadn't have sifted through some money before, but I guess that was 20 years ago. And you had sifted through the money and got the dye pack out and said, here you go, sis, I don't need that. But like, you ain't remember to say no dye packs? No dye packs or I'll kill you. Like, you know, just throwing some, like, nothing. Peggy was trying to get to Mexico. Damn. Yep. Oh, I hate to see it. So within minutes, Peggy Jo was hauled out of the parking lot. Peggy Jo hauling out of the parking lot in her IV with a posse of police vehicles right behind her in a low-speed chase on the highway. Now, if you in an RV, sis, hang it up. What y'all going, 35 miles per hour? Like,
for sure.
Hang it up, sis. The RV couldn't even reach the speed limit. So in a last-ditch effort, Peggy Jo turned into a suburb in the edge of the city where she was soon boxed in by police cars. The RV stopped, and the cops leapt out of the cars, guns trained on the RV door. Peggy Jo picked up the toy gun as she kept for emergencies, opened the door to the RV, hands on her side, and declared, you're gonna have to kill me.
Holy shit, Peggy. What are you doing?
Peggy, this is a fucking movie, bro. Peggy.
This is a movie. Wow. This absolutely should be a movie.
Officers begged her to stand down. According to witnesses, Peggy Jo Tallis' last words as she raised her hand and took a step out of the RV were, you mean to tell me if I come out of here with a gun and point it at y'all, you ain't gonna shoot me? Four shots rang out at the same time. Peggy Jo fell and died. Later, when authorities ran a records check, they realized it was Cowboy Bob. And when an FBI agent called Steve Powell to tell him of Peggy Jo's death, he said, say it ain't so. Steve from the FBI and I was like, I loved her.
So.
Peggy's best friend, Sherry, spoke of her and said, I think about her walking out of that bank, 60 years old, that bag full of money, and I have to say that she went out doing what she loved. We'll never understand it, but she was doing exactly what she loved. I wish I could write her a note and say, good for you, my sweet pig. Good for you.
Oh, my God. How deflating that. I mean, it is.
Peggy Jo, did you watch Set It Out? Because you went out like Cleo from Set It Out.
Yes, 100%.
She got out of the car like, doo, 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 doo. Peggy, did you have straight backs? Did you have cornrows?
You have to be like Jada Pinkett in that movie.
You got to ride off on the bus, sis, with the coins.
Yeah, at the very end. Man, that is so... God, that's so deflating that she went out like that. And, like, you could totally see how she... Like, how her life got there.
She went out like a fucking G. But it's sad when you think about why. Because she knew she was facing jail time. She done already did a bid.
Yeah.
She got a toy gun. So she knew she was basically begging them to... take her out. She wasn't going to go to Mexico. She wasn't going to be able to fulfill her lifelong dream. She spent most of her life as a caretaker. She had a raggedy ass man who was cheating on her with his wife.
Yeah. She's in her 60s. And like we talked about before, like in this society, it's really hard for an older woman to start
a
career.
With a criminal record.
With a criminal record. Like what possible outcome is there for her? That's going to be, you know, bring any joy to her life. That is absolutely, I am a Peggy Jo fan and
I'm a Peggy Jo stan.
I'm a Peggy Jo stan. Yeah. Yeah. I want, Peggy Jo needs, I wish she was still alive so that somebody could write and sell a movie and give her. Some
give
of the
her
proceeds.
The money.
I know.
Because damn, Peggy Jo. Man, America failed you, sis.
Yep.
America
absolutely.
Failed you.
Absolutely.
Failed you. And what people want from us when this country fails us is for us to go quietly into the night.
Yep.
You know, politicians don't care how many people die. It's just a number on a ledger. You know, that's the reason Greg Abbott's out here, which is so wild to me that Greg Abbott, who is someone who needs care, you know, who has a disability and is out here not even just encouraging, trying to demand that children go to school unmasked in Texas.
Yeah.
Like, it's just so wild to see the, you know, rampant selfishness and inhumanity in this country. And Peggy Jo, you deserve better. I mean, you a bad bitch, though.
Yeah, yeah.
The baddest.
So much respect. So much respect for to have the just to have the courage to just be like, you know what? Fuck this shit. Fuck everything that has kind of like, you know, worked against me my whole life. I'm just going to do, you know, a really clever job of robbing banks. The only thing that Peggy Jo did wrong, other than the die thing, is like, man, you had to get more money. Like, you had to steal
more money.
Yeah.
If that first lick, if she had come in there, and see, that's the thing. Women are always underpaid, you know?
That bank teller would have given, see, a man would have gotten,
man definitely would have gotten more than $1,000 because the bank teller would have been like, he probably going to be mad if I don't give him more. But fuck that bank teller for trying to pay my good sis Peggy 40 cents on the dollar, bitch. No, give my good sis Peggy her 100% robbery. No.
That's so funny.
No.
That's so funny.
See, that's what it was. That was, you know, but actually no, because they thought that the bank teller was a man. They thought Cowboy Bob was a man, so... I guess the bank tellers were just like, I'm not going to give up this much coin. Damn.
Yeah. Or maybe the bank teller could just feel the deeply ingrained feminine energy coming from Peggy Jo's spirit.
But also, as women, I hope that you take this as we can all take this as a takeaway. Because even if the teller wasn't discriminating, Peggy Jo wasn't asking for what she was worth. She was scared that they were going to say no.
There you go.
So she was asking for less when the men out here asking for more. I bet
that's
a man would have thumbed through that cash and been like, this is not enough. Hey, it's me. It's a robbery again. Yeah. I'm going to need you to put at least $50,000 in this bag. Because, like, if you're going to rob a place.
Probably would have shot somebody.
Right. One and done. Like, and if you got to do two, if you need to learn a lesson, she did get more the second time. She got 3,000 the second time. But the second time, you should come in there and really rob the place.
Like, we're only doing this one more time. One more time, I'm getting 50 grand and I'm getting the fuck out of this place.
Right. Like, yeah. I'm getting 100. I'm getting whatever you got. And if you shortchange me, it's your ass.
Yeah.
So, man, all right. Peggy Jo, big ups to you, man. An icon. A legend.
I agree.
The moment.
Legend Peggy Jo.
Guys, we're going to take a quick break for some non-scam advertisements. We'll be right back with the saddest part of the show, the end where I have to let James go.
Robbery and fraud.
And we are back, and it's time for Scammer of the Week. This is when we honor a charlatan, or maybe we flog them. Maybe we don't like them. We'll see. But, you know, someone who stood out, someone who's particularly worthy of note. We'll say that, because note doesn't necessarily mean good. So today we're talking about a mother of three who's suing a woman who used her children as props in a crowdfunding scheme that generated hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Interesting.
Late last month, Dasha Kelly started a GoFundMe asking for $2,000 in rent money to help keep a roof over her heads of her and her three daughters. It was discovered, okay, Dasha, I'm not mad at this. I actually love it. Nope, I love it.
Yeah.
Dasha, I don't even care if these are not your kids. Dasha is giving me destitute.
Yeah.
She is giving down and out. And so are the kids.
Yeah,
the kids
are
giving sadness. And all these kids are beautiful. These kids are like freaking Oshkosh Bagosh, like Target commercial, gorgeous little babies. And all the
one
kids,
right next to her has her little head on. Yeah. It's like
that's my
really
favorite.
I'm ready to give money.
The girl in the pink. And I will put this picture on the page so y'all can see for yourselves. But the little girl in the pink who's sitting next to Dasha has her head on her fake mama's shoulder. She's giving hungry. She got one arm out, making it look extra skinny. She's giving malnourished. I love it. And then the one in the blue on the other side of the mom, she's like holding on to the, not the mom, but holding on to the fake mom, looking at her in her eyes like, when you gonna feed us, mom?
Yeah.
And then the one in the blue next to the little girl in the pink, she's kind of giving like, I'm not here for this. But in the context of the other children, it's giving, I can't even hold my head up because I'm so hungry.
My body's so weak.
My little baby body is so weak.
I
love this. So it was discovered in a CNN interview that the girls were not her biological children, something that was added retroactively to the GoFundMe page. Shadia Hilo, the girl's actual mother, filed a lawsuit against Kelly because Kelly never had her permission to showcase her children as props. As a result, the GoFundMe has frozen the campaign. Okay, so Shadia, let's talk. Shadia, you're fucking up the bag.
Yeah.
Shadia. Don't tell me for a second that you are mad that your friend, Dasha, was getting coins off of your babies.
Yeah.
And that's okay. You should be mad for that. She didn't ask your permission. She didn't ask your permission to photograph your beautiful children who should be models. Like, let me be their manager. But at the same time, why not just be like, let's go half or I'm going public?
Yeah. Where's my cut?
Just get your cut.
That's all. Yeah.
Shania, at one point, the figure was raised to more than $234,000.
Oh, my God. Shania, you could have made,
Shadia, you could have got $117,000.
Yeah.
Honestly, you could have been like, since the kids are mine, take most of the money.
Yeah.
60-40.
Yeah.
Because obviously, Dasha's on hard times, and if she has access to your kids, then she must be at least your friend, I would hope.
Yeah, or maybe
I don't give my kids out for photo
really
shoots. Right. Even if she's the babysitter, you're letting her watch your children, which means you have to have some level of trust. So, like, break her off some.
Yeah.
Because at the same time, like, she could be like, look, if you're going to take half, I could also say, like, we're in this together and none of us get the money. So both of y'all got the same liability if y'all decide to do the scam. So go half on it. What's going on? See, Shadia, I think you're a hater.
Yep. Yeah.
A hate can fuck up your bag.
It will, absolutely. So your own bag, too. Your own bag.
Your like Shadia could have made.
Yeah. Gotten your own way, Shadia.
Shadia, instead of being a hater, you could have looked at this as an opportunity. You could have been a congratulator. So $70,000 of the money was refunded to donors. Kelly's explanation is, my partner is the children's father, whom I do not live with, and I take care of these girls in my home for periods of time and have for the last couple years. Okay, so Hilo, which is Shadia, the girl's actual mother, is upset at the implication that Kelly publicly referred to the girls as her daughters. So, Shadia, your kids are beautiful. Yes, I'm sure it would be a little embarrassing when people were like, Shadia, them not your kids. Like, I saw them on the GoFundMe, Shadia. I donated to them not your kids. You was lying this whole time when we was doing play day, Shadia. Like, I get it. There's a little pride, but, you know, what comes before the fall? Like, Shadia, this is fucked up. Also, I want to say that these kids do look mixed race, and the woman is of darker complexion and a black woman. So people are probably also like, damn, this poor black woman, like, got run off. The white man who was with it done ran off.
Yeah, totally.
You know, or what they would assume to be white. We don't know the race of the father. But, you know, like, this story was juicy. Also, here's my last qualm. So I'm going to say, one, I fuck with Dasha. Two, Shadia, you a hater, so I don't fuck with you because you could have got your bag and this could have not been news. What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
My second point is, I don't know how I feel about GoFundMe refunding money because the story was a lie.
Ugh. Right. What is their role? Is like, what is that? How does that work?
I don't know how I feel about that because let's be honest, GoFundMe is a place where you tell a sad story, you know, you tell your business, and then you hope that it appeals to people's empathy enough to crowdfund the coins that you need. So that it runs the gamut from I'm stuck at All-Star Weekend, I need a plane ticket, to I need to bury a loved one. And everything in between.
Mm-hmm.
My thing is like, if you give of an open heart to a cause that you deem is worthy, why do you get a refund just because it's not what you thought it was?
Yeah. What is the like?
What did
what
you
is
lose?
The role in that? Yeah.
What did you lose from the purchase? Because like in that way, it makes me think like, is GoFundMe a purchase of empathy? Like, I bought some good deed?
Yeah.
Because that's the only way that a refund would make sense.
It's like when people refuse to give money to an unhoused person because they might say, like, you know, hungry, need food, and they're like, I'm not giving that person money because they're going to use it on drugs. Like,
okay. Well,
yeah, wouldn't you want to do drugs if you were in that predicament? Like, or if you were a drug addict and you needed to survive? Like, what the fuck do you care? It's either you give them money for... they still need money.
And why is it... And that is something that we all need to decolonize from our brains, is this classist system that's keeping us all down, that if you have a little bit more money than an unhoused person, that you now get to decide what that unhoused person does with the money that you give to them. Do you know how absolutely unhinged it would be if you gave an unhoused person like $20 and then you came back the next day and like, what you do with that 20? Let me see the receipts.
Let me what see the get? Fruits of that. Yeah, let me see.
Are
what you
happier?
Got.
Give me a smile. Like,
give me a smile. Oh my God.
That's insane.
Yeah, it's, It
so
is.
I don't know if GoFundMe should be giving refunds, because honestly, like, why don't we just not talk about if GoFundMe finds out? But I guess it's like GoFundMe is trying to establish themselves as a legitimate platform for crowdfunding for legitimate things.
Credibility. Yeah, I'm sure that they're like, oh, if we don't do this, they'll think all of our stuff could be scams. Like, I
and then
get
people
the
will stop giving, I guess.
Yeah, I get it. It is a weird place, though. It's a weird, like, vague, gray, moral kind of, like,
But also, Shadia, this is your fault. Like, you should have just got half of the money. $234,000, Shadia?
Yeah.
You have three kids. I don't care if you're rich.
You know who wouldn't have done that? Peggy Jo wouldn't have done that.
Peggy Jo wouldn't have done that. Peggy Jo's a real bitch.
Yeah.
She would have never done that. Man, if Peggy Jo was alive during GoFundMe, man.
Oh,
we would
man.
Set you up, sis. We would set you up.
Absolutely.
But guys, that brings us to the end of this episode. Damn, this was fun, James. It was so good talking to you.
What a blast. What a blast. Lacey, it's so good talking to you. It's I've missed you. It's been too long.
I missed you too, man. This was just fun for me. Like, I forget people are going to listen to this. But I think it'll be fun for you guys too. I know it will. But James, we always ask, where do you want to be found?
You can find me on Twitter or Instagram, jmaz1111. I also would encourage you to check out the Instagram of the Comedy Co-op LA, which is a workers cooperative comedy theater that we're currently starting, a group of us in a steering committee, and we're looking to start a theater that pays comedians and, you know, gives comedians agency over the conditions in which they perform and allows them to be a part of the direction of the theater. So
it's really beautiful. It's such
check it out.
Thank you for doing this work, because that's been one of the real things that I was sad about for young actors is like not having the community that we had coming up.
I know. Same. Like,
my first improv teacher, Laura Chen, wrote Florida Girls, and James was on an improv team with her. And like she, like, you know, we all ended up in her show in some capacity, like you on the writer's side and on screen and me on screen. Like, you know, like, and that was because of the community that we had where we could meet like-minded people and come up together and work together. So thank you so much for doing that, James.
Absolutely.
It's really, really dope. Drop that Instagram name one more time for the folks in LA, the Comedy Co-op.
The Comedy Co-op, yeah.
LA. Yeah.
Yep.
Awesome.
LA, yeah.
And guys, as always, scamgoddesspod@gmail.com. Snitch on your friends and family. Just make sure your scam is retired, because we don't want to what? Yes, fuck up your bag. If you want to find us online, scamgoddesspod on all platforms. If you want to find me, D-I-V-A-L-A-C-I, Diva Lacey on all platforms. Guys, all my shows are streaming right now, honey. Florida Girls on Showmax. Black Lady Sketch Show on HBO Max. All the Maxes, honey. And then all of the episodes of iCarly on Paramount Plus. So if you want to binge, they're all out there now. Congregation, take a note from Peggy Jo. And when you rob, ask for what you deserve. And stay scheming. Scam Goddess! This has been an Earwolf production in association with Team Coco. Scam Goddess stars and is hosted by me, Lacey Mosley, a.k.a. Scam Goddess. It's produced by Judith Cargbo, engineered by Marina Faiz, and researched by Kaylin Brandt. Stay scheming!